Open up to Romans 14. Some of you, I don't know how many of you got Wednesday night's tape or the message anymore. You know, I don't know how long it'll take for us to quit saying tape. I mean, that's one way you can get it now, but you can download it at ictus.net. You can download it at garycarpenter.org, and you can get it about any way you want it. Tape, MP3, CD, make your own CD. We have people all around the world that are downloading them, making CDs and giving them out like tracks. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Wednesday night, the title that we put on that is Signs of Immaturity. And it comes from this passage right here, and I don't have time to do a whole lot of review, but let's just look at, not Hebrews, it's Romans, Gary. Didn't I say Romans? Did I tell you Romans? Hallelujah. See, it says Romans 14:1, Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. And I'll just stop right there for a minute. For the last year and a half, maybe 2 years now, remember when the Lord gave that prophecy about don't keep relaying again and again and again the foundations. We've got to go on to some meat. Got to go on to some meat now. He's been talking to us for a year and a half to 2 years about maturity in the body of Christ. He wants a revival that is not a bunch of babies operating in the gifts. Now, he's had that. And it's worked in some cases. I mean, but it's also brought great scandal on the body of Christ time and time again, because without that maturity, sooner or later, the devil's going to get you, you know. What I mean is a temptation, weakness of the flesh if you're not mature. So what he's after now, he keeps talking to us about grow up, but become mature. You know, in your understanding, be men. In malice, be children, but in your understanding, be men and women. Grow up. So even in this verse here, you can plainly see from that verse, it is possible to be a Christian and be weak in the faith. And that's okay. It's better than not being a Christian at all. Glory to God. One of my favorite things is if the thief made it, there's hope for me. Glory. You know, the blood is enough. But see, he's calling for maturity for us. So we just don't want to remain weak. We want to grow up and mature. Now, we're to receive all the weak ones. Hey, when 1,000 get born again every week, oh my God, we better grow up. It's hard for children to raise children. See, and that's why he's trying to get us to grow up. We're going to receive them by the thousands and not be hard and not be legalistic. And I mean, what's going to get them and what's going to keep them is love. You hear me? But it's love matured. So he keeps talking about maturity to us. So here he says, Him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes. Now he starts giving a definition so we can understand. Now when he says weak in the faith, he doesn't mean that they're wavering in their belief in Christ. He's not talking about that. They're saved. They're born again. They're trusting in the blood. That's not what he means. He means they're weak in other areas, which we talked about that Wednesday night. Quick review, because we got some good stuff this morning. Hallelujah. But here's an example of one that's being weak. He says, For one believes that he may eat all things. Another, who is what? Who is weak, eateth herbs. He's just eating vegetables. Now let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. For God has received them. See, it's not a matter of that, but there's still yet no disputing here. Now, see, just so you'll know, going over, he says that a person who is weak. Now, they're doing it for religious reasons. Again, I've got to say over and over again, he's not talking about a vegetarian for health reasons. If you think it's more wise and better for you, for your physical body, to be a vegetarian, that's fine. Where he's drawing the line is if you think God requires that. And he's talking about the dietary laws. And so you can see that in the same chapter, you know how Dave teaches us all the time about the laws of meditation. Come right on over into verse 14, Romans 14:14. He says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. By who? Now, you do know that Paul did not follow Jesus around when Jesus was teaching physically on the earth. He's talking about in that time in Arabia when he was there about 3 years, taught by the Holy Ghost as the Holy Ghost brought him the mind of Christ, which, by the way, is the same teacher you have. You can know Christ as well as Paul, and Paul knew Christ better than Peter, even though Peter was taught by the physical manifested Christ. Anyway, enough. Who was it that had to correct who? Paul had to correct Peter. Okay, now, every time I teach on this subject, though, here, there, anywhere else, this always comes up. Now, settle me down. I'm always thinking, there's too much, we'll never get it all in. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Calm down. Just a moment while I enter into his rest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. See, this big debate always comes up. Is the law done away or is it not done away? Well, maybe, you know, say, well, you know, if you ask most Christians, I'm not under the law. You watch them? Yeah, they are too. Certain areas. Especially if you start talking about motivation as to why they're doing something. Then if you start talking about the law really being done away, then there comes a debate from good, well-meaning people. And I'm telling you, we're getting lots of help on TV, radio. It's amazing. You normally can't watch 15 minutes, and it's one way or another they're putting you back under the law, either in finances or some other way. So I was asking the Lord about this. I taught on this Wednesday night to some degree. We're going to use a different approach today. Instead of talking about it being done away, let's talk about it being fulfilled. The law has been fulfilled. I'm going to show you just a few, and then you'll see the rest of it. If you can get these few. And if I'm telling you, once you talk about freedom, once you ever really get this, and I don't mean freedom to sin either. I mean freedom to live as who you really are. A child of the living God, taught and anointed by the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's something that those under the law would have killed to have. Well, except killing was illegal. But anyway. I go to Matthew. And we're going to, okay, do your fingers like this. We're going to be doing a little Bible drill now. All right? At the same time, I want you to go to Matthew 5. This is our first place we're going to look at here. Matthew 5 and also Leviticus chapter 1. Genesis, Exodus. Okay, I know I've got it back here somewhere. Leviticus 1. How's that for early? Hallelujah. Now see, here's the verse that the legalists still use today. We have modern day Judaizers just like Paul had Judaizers then. Again, Ruthie's sitting here on the front row, and no matter, there's no point in mentioning the particular denomination. There's lots of denominations and lots of churches within denominations that do this. I mean, till within the last few years, till she started hearing Dave's tapes and my tapes, they had them under the dietary laws of the Old Testament to the point she wouldn't even eat strawberries. She was telling us at lunch the other day, who is it? Diana one day asked her to, you know, they were preparing something here, and she wanted to help, and so she handed her like a bucket of strawberries. Go wash these. And she's going, oh, unclean. This is devil's food. It's got seeds on the outside. I don't even want to wash these, much less eat them. Why is that? Taught in a New Testament Christian church that you can't eat those, that they're unclean because the seeds are on the outside. I can take you to about half a dozen Christian TV programs right now today where they'll put you back under the law for religious reasons. Now again, health is something else. If you just wanted it, you know, I really don't think a diet of all bacon is really good for you. I agree with that. Okay? That's a whole different thing. We're not talking about that. All right. Now look in Matthew 5 first. I already lost my place. Fortunately, I have the verses printed out. So Matthew 5, verse 18, or 17 and 18. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. Now, boy, I have not come to destroy, but to what? But to fulfill. Boy, that's your word now, fulfill. If you look up the Greek word for fulfill, it's a definition about a page long. It's got a real broad meaning that you can use it in a lot of different contexts, so it doesn't help you a whole lot. You have to find out from the, you know, from what the rest of the Bible, what it really means. Because then he says, for I verily I say unto you, now here we go, I've been put under the law with this verse so many times, that verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass. Now go, has heaven and earth passed away? No. One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Right there, boy. I mean, they go, has heaven and earth passed away? And I go, my foot, no, it's still here. I can feel it. It's still here. Well then, here you go. All right, now, but let's talk about fulfilled. I want you to, you're in Leviticus 1. Let's read verses. I'm going to read verses 3 through 5. This is talking about bringing your lamb, your spotless lamb. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And notice, he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. Now, why is he doing that? Tells you, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. When he puts his hands on the head of that lamb, symbolically, he is transferring his sin to that lamb. And when the lamb is offered, which it tells you in the next verse, he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Bullock. I don't know whether it's a lamb or a bull. Either way, this is a sin offering because it's being offered for his atonement. Isn't that right? Now, was that in the law? Was that the way to do it? No two ways about it? This side of the cross, let me ask you, who is the lamb? He is the ultimate, perfect, finished sacrifice. And let me ask you, do you think it would please the Lord? Let's say one day you committed a sin. You lied, you cussed, you stole, you did something. And guilt is on you. See, now what do? I'm going to turn back to Leviticus. I think it would please God. I think it would please him if I went and got a lamb. Hey, those people that are putting you under the law, they think you're that dumb. I think it would please him if I went and got a real lamb and put my hands on his head. God, you will accept the death of this lamb in place of my sin, won't you? What was once acceptable is now a stench and an abomination. No wonder Paul says later, we'll look at it later, if you go back under the law, you have fallen from grace. Christ, he doesn't count for anything to you. Now, but would you at least agree with me on this one? That this part of the law has been fulfilled. And you can never go back, my friend. You can never go back. Never, ever, as a Christian. Never go back to that part of the law. You could never do it. Why? It has been fulfilled. Does that help you? Does that help a little? Now let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's look at another one. Well, we mentioned Wednesday night about the Sabbath. Go ahead and turn to Numbers 15. While you're at it, pinch together Mark chapter 2. While you're at it, you can put another little marker or ribbon or whatever you got, piece of paper, over in Hebrews 4. Now let's get this. Here's another one. The Sabbath. Now we're asking, you know, we're not so much looking today as being done away. Has it been fulfilled? Because Jesus said, not one jot or tittle will pass till it's been fulfilled. All right, now there's no doubt under, you can go all the way back to the original Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And he declared, now the word Sabbath, by the way, does not mean seventh. The definition comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, and it means rest, to cease from labor. That's all it means. God declared in Exodus 20, he declared the seventh day to be the Sabbath under the old covenant. And what was the command? Don't work. Don't work on the Sabbath. You keep it holy, right? Which is where it gets its name. Don't work. Rest. All right? So we have the first instance where somebody broke it is here in Numbers 15. Look at verse 32 through 36. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks, that's firewood, upon the Sabbath day, the seventh day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron, and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, now how about, talk about severe. This man, or the man shall shirt, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation, all of them. Why? There's a reason for that. Not just the priests, not in secret. Everybody come and watch. Not just watch, participate. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. Boy, now how severe is that? See, there's a reason, though. God, this is the shadow. Now, we're going to look at the verse here in a minute as to why. But see, everything under the old covenant pointed to Jesus. He was pointing towards the day when Jesus would become our Sabbath. What's the command? Don't work. Why did this man have to die? The type and shadow? Listen, if you try and make heaven based on your own works, you will never make it. That is the whole stumbling block of the Jews. Paul says, not understanding the righteousness which is of God, they went about trying to establish their own righteousness. Working, trying to establish their own. And he says, if you do that, all the congregation, the whole congregation, not only watch, participate and learn. If you try and do works in my declared rest, you will perish. It's Christ's works, not ours, that gets us there. He is our Sabbath. Now let's watch it in Mark chapter 2, verses 24, starting there. You see, this isn't important. I'm not under the law. You're right. I agree with you. I'm not going to argue with your testimony. You better stay out from under it too. It's amazing how much of our thinking, how much of our acting is still motivated by that which has been fulfilled. Now, if we're going to operate in the kind of revival that the Lord wants us operating in, we're going to have to find out who we are, where we're from, and why we're here. And we're going to operate by a set of rules that's not of this world. Our whole thinking has to change. And quit, as Paul would say, quit messing around with, he didn't use messing around, but quit the beggarly elements of this world. You're not even of this world. For crying out loud. Jesus put it this way when they accused him of breaking the Sabbath. Verse 24, and the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day? Now what was happening? They were going through and eating. They were just gleaning some grain to eat as they walked through the fields, but it was on the Sabbath. And the Pharisee said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? Here we go again with the law. And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was a-hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests. And he gave also to them which were with him. Boy, now get this. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now go to Hebrews 4. See, Hebrews especially is the book that addresses this issue, because the whole temptation to the Hebrews, it's called Hebrews for a reason. This letter was written to people who were raised under the law. They were born a Jew, a seed of Abraham, raised under the law. And then they got converted. Somebody preached the gospel to them, and they had to make a choice. Do I continue to trust in the law of Moses to save me and keep in these laws, or do I put my trust in the finished work of Jesus? These had chosen to put their trust in Jesus. But now the pressure has come, and I mean come strong. All kinds of persecution was against them. Pressure from their parents. Pressure, you weren't allowed to go to the good universities. There was prejudice against you even on the better jobs. Unless you go back. I can just see them parents bringing in the rabbis, with the ones with those long beards. And I mean, they had to be imposing figures. You'd think like Abraham surely has risen from the dead, you know. Come in and say, Who are you to reject the God of our fathers? You need to return to the God of Moses. Boy, can't you just hear them? You know, you're a teenager. You just got saved last week. I mean, you'd be shaking and quaking in your boots, you know, wondering what in the world to do. They are especially got pressure on them to go back to the law of Moses. And this whole letter is to encourage them to stay with Jesus. Okay, now watch this in Hebrews 4, verse 10. It says, For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us, you Hebrews, all of you people who were raised under the law, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. What rest? The finished works of Jesus. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. If you try and work on you, go back to that man picking up sticks. Why? Why was the penalty so severe? Because God was trying to teach them. I have a rest for you. Man, you think you can live righteous before me. You don't understand. You're flawed. You got a fatal flaw called a sin nature. You don't know it yet. Here's my law. Keep it. And they tried. He's trying to teach them about this coming rest, the day that would come. And if you find anybody working in that rest period, it has to be shown to the whole congregation. If you try and work and earn your own salvation, you will certainly perish. It is my rest, or there is no salvation for you. Now, knowing that Jesus, everything that he did, his finished works, so that we can freely enter into, we who believe, we enter into that freedom, that free rest of his. Now, knowing that that's what's been made available, what does God think when we say, well, I'm not sure about that. I think the seventh day, I better keep that, because that is really the Sabbath and not the finished works of Jesus. I'm going to please you, God, by trusting. I think you'll count it righteous if I keep the seventh day as the Sabbath, as a work. I think that would please you. Do you think it would please? Would it please him to offer a lamb in the place of Jesus? It doesn't please him for us to keep the Sabbath. And I don't care what day. You know, some Christians are just as religious about Sunday as the Jews were about Saturday. You know, if you don't, I don't care if you meet on Tuesday. The command is just don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Meet on Tuesday, Thursday. It doesn't make any, that Paul talks about that in that Romans 14. You don't have to go back there. He says one man. Now, again, while they're weak in the faith, I'm not criticizing the weak ones. I'm criticizing the ones that teach this stuff. See, especially if they've been at it 30 years. Shame on them. Paul continues to teach. He said, you can't go to meat without leaving the milk. Now, got to leave the milk, and that's where he's trying to get us to go. So can you see where the Sabbath, Jesus has fulfilled that Sabbath day? He is the rest wherein no man can work. You cannot work to establish your own righteousness and remain in his rest. He has forever fulfilled that. There's no way to go back to the Sabbath in the sense of keeping a Sabbath day. He has fulfilled all of that. You can't go back to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Leviticus 11 and put a marker in Romans 14. I guess we are going back there too. Hallelujah. See, it's more than that. It's not just that the law, it's not like God says, okay, that's, I'm just doing away with the law. That's not what Jesus said. He said, I haven't come to destroy it. I've come to fulfill it. It's like once you understand, really understand about the lamb, you can't be offering lambs anymore. Once you understand Jesus is your rest, you can't be working for your own salvation anymore. That's the lesson. And it's just, there's nothing to return to. It's been fulfilled. There's nothing to return to. I can't go back and offer God a lamb. For crying out loud. Do you see the difference? All right. Let's look at the dietary laws. Here we go again. And I'm going to say again. Now, if you want to be a vegetarian or what's a vegan? Isn't a vegan, they don't even eat eggs or milk or nothing, right? I don't, if you're doing it for health reasons, and you know, that's between you and God. But when you start telling people that this food is unclean and that food is unclean, you're putting them under the law. You can go to heaven, but that's trash. And it'll be burnt up on that day, too. It'll be burnt up as by fire. You yourself, as long as you don't mess around with the new birth, you can go to heaven. All right, Leviticus 11. Now, sure enough, this was under the law. Boy, I hate this part about the conies because I love conies, but Sue really loves conies. Anyway, Leviticus 11:4. I'm just doing a small portion. Y'all know this goes on and on and on and on. I'm just doing a small portion here. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel. Okay. I see a lot of people eating camels. I see them smoking camels, but I don't see them eating camels. In case you weren't here, you know, Dave said, he told me the other day, he said, y'all do know that Rachel, the Old Testament, Rachel, that she smoked, right? Well, the Bible says she lit off her camel. Anyway. In case you weren't here, too, before he got married, you know, Boaz was ruthless. Oh. All right. Leviticus. Got to have a little levity there. Leviticus 11:4. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. Now get that. No, I mean, if words mean anything, for sure, the camel is unclean. Sue, I'm sorry about this one, baby. And the coney. She says, I'm not under the law. Now, we're talking about those hot dog conies, but anyway. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is what? Boy, the law doesn't stutter, does it? It's unclean. That food is unclean. How about the hare? That's a rabbit. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is what? He is unclean unto you. Hey, my dad, we had all kinds of animals when I was growing up. He bought two rabbits. A male and a female. My job was to build the hutches. I didn't know that was going to be as things progress, and it's exponential. The longer you keep them, I mean, it's after about a few months, after about 6 months, I mean, all of my time after school was out building hutches. You couldn't, and we were eating some of them, but you couldn't keep up with them. I mean, you couldn't keep up with the things. I mean, that you talk. We ate. I've had fried rabbit, stewed rabbit, baked rabbit, rabbit pie. I've had rabbit. I don't know why they don't put it in the grocery stores. I think it's better than chicken myself. But anyway, you know. Then, and when I first read this, to be honest with you, I'm going, did I displease God? Because I didn't understand things. You know, I didn't understand a lot of things. The first time after we got saved and I'm reading this, oh my God, was he upset with me for eating rabbits? And I didn't know. And at that point, I was weak in the faith. And God just loved me. I mean, me and God had a thing going on. And I was smoking and reading that and wondering if eating a rabbit was a sin. I was under conviction about eating rabbit, not smoking in those days. Hey, remember, I grew up in the kind of church where they had a smoke break between Sunday school and the main service, and the pastor was out there with the rest of the deacons. You know, a little country Southern Baptist church. I didn't think that was a sin, but I found out eating rabbits. Oh my God, maybe God's mad at me for eating rabbits. But now under the law, there's no two ways about it. The hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, what does it say? It is unclean. That rabbit boy under the law, it is unclean. And here we go. Oh my God, why the swine? I like everything on the swine but the nose. I've never eaten a pig's nose. But pork chops and ham and bacon. Now, I'm not crazy about pig's knuckles, but some people are. But now notice, and the swine, though he divideth the hoof, and he is cloven-footed, but he cheweth not the cud. He is what? Now, all I want you to see real clear is under the law, the camel, this coney, I'm not even exactly sure what that is. I like it because of the hot dog thing. The hare, which is a rabbit, and the pig. Does it plainly say those four things are unclean? All right, now, I think I told you to pinch over Romans 14. Trying to get it plain. The camel, the coney, the rabbit, and the pig. They are unclean under the law. It doesn't stutter, it doesn't waver, it doesn't make you wonder. Now look what Paul writes. Romans 14:14. I know and am persuaded by TV preachers. Who did he get this from? The Lord Jesus. I mean, how strong is this? I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. And he got it by revelation. He didn't follow Jesus around in his earthly ministry listening to his messages. He got it after Jesus had risen from the dead. Got it by the Holy Ghost, the same teacher we have. But he knew the Holy Ghost doesn't speak of himself. What he hears, that's what he speaks. So he knew that when he was being taught these things, he's being taught by the Lord Jesus. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. There is nothing unclean of itself. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Time out. Who is this writing this? Paul, but let's talk about Saul before he became Paul. Saul of Tarsus. You can read his pedigree over there in Philippians where he says, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning the law, blameless, he said. As far as any, you talk about zeal and somebody who knew the law and somebody who did his best to keep the law. Now, if anybody would have jumped on you for eating a coney or a rabbit or a pig, it would have been Saul of Tarsus before he got saved. Then he bows himself to the Lord Jesus Christ through that training by the Holy Ghost in the Arabian desert for 3 years. And he comes out and he says, I've been taught now by Jesus and not Moses. Did you get that? I've been taught by Jesus. And he told me there is nothing unclean of itself. Now, if Saul of Tarsus can be persuaded, there's hope for everybody. You can be free. This is on Wednesday nights. You remember when God was wanting Peter to start ministering to the Gentiles, going to Cornelius' house, and God knew that the Jews counted the Gentiles as unclean and common. It wasn't even lawful to go under their roof. So what does God do? He lets down this sheet full of creepy, crawly, unclean things and says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter knew it was the Lord. He said, not so, Lord. Nothing common or unclean has ever gone into my mouth. And what? Now, he knew it was Jesus. What did Jesus say? Call not that common which I have cleansed. Isn't that right? Now, three times the Lord had to show him this vision. Three times. Now, Peter could have said, all right, I know it's you, Lord. I know you are Jesus. I know you are the risen Christ. I know you are the second member of the Godhead. You are Lord of all, but you don't understand. It's not lawful for me to eat that. And the Lord says, call not that common which I have cleansed. God. Who is Lord? Now, when Jesus, the head of the church, stands up and says, I have cleansed all foods, it's all clean, you can eat it all, do you think it pleases the Father? Say, I know what your son teaches. I know what he taught Paul. I can read what he taught Peter. But let me tell you, God, it's not legal for me to eat rabbit. And I think it pleases you for me not to eat it. It's been fulfilled. Jesus is Lord and head of the church. It's all been fulfilled. He is our manna. He's our food. Don't eat any strange food. Don't be hanging around the Buddhists or the Zen. Well, that's the same thing. Or the Hindu or the New Age stuff. But that's your strange food to stay away from. Again, I say, health reasons has nothing to do with this. If you want to, I don't care. You can be a vegan for all I care if you think it's healthy for you. You know, and you can teach that to others too. Just don't put them under the law. To tell them that God is pleased if you don't eat rabbit. I like rabbit, so I'm going to keep picking on rabbit. We can all relate to rabbit. To tell people that it pleases God, that rabbit somehow is an unclean food. Who are you, Lord? When the Lord has cleansed it, you're going to stand there and declare it unclean? Doesn't please God. Now again, we're going to have them coming in by the thousands and we're going to receive them all. And if they want to eat kosher in the beginning, we're not going to correct them. I'm not preaching to them right now. I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to the ones God's been trying to get grow up. Not just in this building, but the ones that are affiliated with us, you know, that hear this message around the world. He's trying to make parents out of you. Ready to receive a lot of foster children, if you'll allow me. You know, he's going to send us lots of babies. We're just going to love the socks off of them while they just won't eat rabbit or nothing. And the idea is not to correct. The idea is to love and to teach. If you run them off all the time, if you run them off, you can't teach them. See? It's okay. Just remember Gary smoking and wondering how immature is that? smoking like a freight train and wondering if God was mad at me because I used to eat rabbit. And he just loved me. I mean, I was the apple of his eye. Just, I love that Gary. I love that boy. And I loved him too. I mean, we had a thing going on, but I'm in the process of learning. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the message from this church. I thank God that we stumbled in here one day and began praying in other tongues. Thank you, Lord. All right. Go to Luke 18. We're going to talk about monetary offerings. Now, I'm only going to scratch the surface here, and I'm just going to go for the jugular, not the detail. But I've got the details for you in tape series after tape series after tape series. They're at the website. We have a lending library here. You will not be, they're all free. You will not be able to stand before Jesus on that day and say, Gary didn't share the revelation with me, or I couldn't afford it, or anything like that. It's all available to you free, and it's, my hands are clean. Okay? If you don't listen to it, that's not my fault. Let's just go for the jugular, though, on all of it. You found Luke 18? Now, this is one of the representations from the Gospels of the rich young ruler. This man had been a Jew all of his life. When he came and asked the Lord, what must I do to be perfect? That word perfect simply means mature. Is that not a good question for us? First thing Jesus gives him is the law. He says, well, you know the commandments. Don't do this and don't do that and honor thy mother and father. And I forget exactly what he told him. Don't do these things. And the rich young ruler said, all these have I kept from my youth. And Jesus didn't correct him. In other words, apparently the guy had done his best to keep it. And any time that he failed, he'd offered the appropriate sacrifice. So in the eyes of the law, he was clean. So the Lord says, well, here it is. I did write it down. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, well, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now, when Jesus had heard these things, boy, now get this. If you can get this, you're going to be free. He said to him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast. And notice he didn't say, bring it unto me, like they do on TV. Gary, are you upset? Yes, I am upset. Time out. There's a teaching going on right now saying that there's two covenants, one for the Christian and one for the Jew. And if the Jewish people believe that to their end, they will die in their sins, and they will not go to Abraham's bosom either. And I know it's being taught that they will by big name preachers, big name. And that, the Bible so teaches against that. If Jesus said, if you do not believe I am He, you will die in your sins. You will perish. People, it has been fulfilled. It's not either or. Christ has fulfilled the law, and you cannot be saved trusting in it. It is Christ or perish. That's really what Jesus was teaching on in Luke 15 when he says, abide in me. And if you don't abide in me, what's going to happen? You're going to be like a branch. Going to be cut off to be burned. How clear could he make it? Paul talks about it over in Romans 10 and 11. He says, the Jews who wouldn't believe, they've been cut off. You have been grafted in. There's not two covenants either. You better get it straight. There is one. The old has been fulfilled. Can't offer a lamb? How simple. We can all get that one. You cannot offer a lamb, a literal lamb that's pleasing to God in the place of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot reject Jesus and offer God a lamb. It's been fulfilled. Monetary offerings. Okay, end of timeout, back to this. I get upset. Jesus, get upset. You don't blame me. You vipers, you whitewashed tombstones, you're stepping over men's graves. Make them twice more the son of hell than you are yourself. Love gets upset sometimes when he sees lambs being led to the slaughter. Now this is really the end of the... Back to Luke 18:22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, distribute to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now here's the thing. You can search the law from Exodus 20 to the last verse in Malachi. You will not find that command anywhere. That is not under the law. To sell everything that you have, everything. Now there's lots of commandments under the law about your money, your prosperity. I mean, the tithing is under the law, first fruits is under the law, wave offerings, heave offerings. You can go on and on and on. And actually, there was more than one kind of tithe. There was really like three different kinds of tithes. And I mean, all kinds of formulas. You can go back and I'm trying to stay away from the TV preachers. They just pick and choose what they want depending on how they want your money this week. Okay, they just pick and choose from the law. You need a first fruits, or you need this, or you need that. You know? Jesus, all in one fell swoop, shows who is Lord of your money. So you're never going to find that commandment under the law. He's trying to introduce this young man. He says, I want to be mature. You want to be mature? There's a new kingdom coming. And I am king in that kingdom. In that kingdom, all that you have, all that you are, all that you ever will have, and all that you ever will be, is mine. That's the covenant. The old, all those formulas, they've all been fulfilled. See, now let's get it real practical. If it's offering time, and you're schooled under the law, and you made $500 this week, you brought home $500, what does the law say is the minimum? $50. Yet when I do that little thing that I do, and I say, now pray and ask the Lord. It's like Mark here. Hey, I'm not going to tell you much, but Mark is a giver. He listens to the Lord. He listens to what the Lord says. I try my best to do that. I know you're trying to do your best to do that. But let's say this particular week, now if you're legally minded, $50, that's what I'm going to give. But when I ask you to bow your head and listen, you hear something. And the Lord says, no, I want you to give $150. Or he could say, I want you to give 25. Let's go with 150. But really, either way. Not like this guy here. He says, no, I want you to sell it all. The rich young ruler. He says, I want you to sell it all and give it all. Now, the legal mind goes, wait a minute. I know what the law says. I'm going to give away 10%, Lord, because that's what the law says. And if he was to sell and give away 10%, would he be okay in the eyes of the law? But would he be okay in the eyes of the Lord? Can you get that? That's it. That's the whole revelation in a nutshell. They could not. They didn't have the new nature on the inside. They didn't have that constant presence of the Holy Ghost like we have. They couldn't hear. God had to give them formulas. But to revert back to the law and give $50 and the Lord saying give $150, listen, your conscience, if you're law-minded, when you write out the check for $50 and put it in, you walk away free. But if you're Lord-minded, you've developed yourself to hear His voice, man, it'll dog you all day. If I gave $50 when He said give $150, I know that I missed Him. And it'll mess with me. And it will with you too. Then you wonder why I'm not happy. Well, you're in constant condemnation. You're not listening to what... you're not doing what He says. You're not doing what He says. And the thing of it is, and as you learn to hear Him, see, it's been done away. You don't need the formulas when you've got the Lord. You don't need the written law when you've got His voice. He is. everything to us. What was he demonstrating to the rich young ruler? There is a new covenant. You're not under those formulas. Whatever I say to you, that is what you do. That does away with all of them. It has been fulfilled. Okay, gotta go a little bit faster. One more. Two more, quickly. Whew. Circumcision. Go to Romans chapter 2. I was born in the 40s. I don't mind telling you, I was circumcised. But it was not for a religious reason at that time. And I think they still teach that it's healthier for help prevent certain diseases and things if you be circumcised. That's why my parents did it. They did it for no religious reason at all. But see, the thing of it is, it's just like the dietary thing. It's one thing to do things for health reasons. It's another thing if you're doing it still as a sign of the covenant. Well, let's see what Paul says. Again, I think Paul knows about these things. Romans 2, verse 26. Therefore, if the uncircumcision, now that's the Gentiles who've been born again, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? That's pretty un-Jamesy. I mean, that's pretty King Jamesy. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it what? Not keep, fulfill the law, judge thee who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law. Now get this. For he is a Jew, which is one outwardly. No, excuse me. He is not a Jew. Big word makes a big difference. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. He's talking about the new birth in the spirit, not in the letter. What letter is that? What letter is that? That's the law. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. Fleshly circumcision was only a shadow of the true. It was pointing the way to the day they could not be born again. They couldn't have the old man. The type and shadow is that the old nature has been circumcised, cut away. And the new man, Christ, has been revealed. That whole thing was a type and a shadow of the new birth. There is no religious advantage for religious circumcision now. Period. So, well, I think it would please God. If you're doing it for to have my son my on the eighth day, especially if you're doing it on the eighth day, we're a little suspect. Now, why was it on the eighth day under the law? Dave, I never heard that revelation from anybody but Dave in my whole life. Because even that was a type and a shadow. No matter what day of the week you were born on, if you're circumcised on the eighth day, you had to go through the Sabbath first. You can't have the circumcision of heart without entering into his rest and being born again. Now, you can't go back. That's all been fulfilled. All of it. You can't go back and please God by circumcising your baby boy on the eighth day as a sign of the covenant. Honey, you don't have to have a sign of the covenant that was pointing to the new birth. You can have the new birth itself. The circumcision of heart, it's been fulfilled. You can't go back. It's been fulfilled. Oh, man. I told you I had an extra few minutes now. Go to Romans 10 and Romans 13. We're going to quickly go through this. Golly, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Romans 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law. For righteousness to everyone that believeth. Plain English. You don't have to try and keep the law anymore to be righteous. He is the end of that. He is the end of the law for righteousness. Forget it. It's been fulfilled. You can't go back and do it again. Hallelujah. Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. He's not teaching on finances in this chapter, except on the fact he's saying, pay your taxes and obey the law of the land. But here he says, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath what? Fulfilled. There's that word again. Fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And, boy, you're to underline, if there be any other commandment, any other commandment, any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You don't have to go back and find out that if you borrowed your neighbor's mower and you ran over a stump and broke it, that you need to replace his mower. The nature itself, you don't have to go back and find in the Levitical laws. Now, if I borrow a cow, you know, you won't find a lawnmower, but you'll find a cow or an ox or something. You don't have to go. Love will tell you, oh, man, I broke his mower. I got to replace that mower. I can't have Sam living without a mower. You know, your next door neighbor, whoever it is. You know? It'll fulfill the law, the love on the inside. All right. We're going to finish up here. Go to Galatians. I got 2 minutes. Hurry. Quick. While you're turning, let me say this. Why is this so important? Listen, for months, over a year, the Lord has been teaching us about maturing in Christ. One thing's for sure. The opposite of maturing is to become weak in the faith. And the number one way that people are weak in the faith is putting themselves back under the law. Why do you give what you give? Why do you do what you do? What is it really? A lot of people, you ask them, why do you tithe? I don't want to be cursed. You will not find that curse anywhere but under the law. Even those that say, well, Abraham was before the law. But you won't find anywhere where God said you're cursed, Abraham, if you don't. And besides that, if you go get the teachings, you'll find out he wasn't tithing from his own income anyhow. He was tithing from the spoils of war. Had nothing to do with his income. All that's free. Quickly, find Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And he is talking specifically about the law here. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He is talking about the law. He's not even talking about sin. He's talking about the law here. Although we don't recommend you go back to sin either. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, he's talking about if you be circumcised for the religious reason, sign of the covenant. It was the sign of the covenant until that covenant was fulfilled in Christ. And if you can be circumcised in the flesh, and if you're never born again, you're still not a Jew in God's sight. A Jew is one that's been circumcised in heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I testify again to every man that is circumcised. And if you do it because of the law, then he is a debtor to the whole law. You cannot pick and choose. Can you see this? It's really funny to me. None of them ever say, you need to go purchase a lamb this week and lay your hands on its head and slaughter it. None of them ever teach that, but boy, they'll go right to Malachi and tell you you're cursed if you don't tithe. Now, you cannot pick and choose. If you're going to keep that part, you're a debtor to the whole law. If you're doing it for a religious reason, we receive you, but you are weak in the faith and you need to grow up. Gary, do you believe in tithing? I believe in giving a whole lot more than that. I believe in doing whatever the Lord tells me to do. And I'll tell you, your biggest problem, you start hearing him, is not giving away the whole farm. He is a giver. Now, the thing of it is, you also get into His abundance when you obey Him. I hesitate to even say that. I hesitate. You may not either. His plan for you may be a martyr on the streets of Baghdad, for all I know. You may get your abundance on the other side. Now, that preaches real well on TV, doesn't it? Here's that verse, Galatians 5, verse 4. Christ is become of no effect. God, does that scare you? Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. If we go back under the law, here's just a few things we're saying. I know I run a little bit over. I apologize. We'll come back a little bit late. If we go back under the law, we're saying, for example, number one, the sacrifice of Christ is not enough. I need to offer a sheep. Number two, the finished work of Christ is not enough. I cannot rest. I have to keep the Sabbath day. Or you might say this, Christ is not Lord. He has no authority or power to cleanse my food. I must eat kosher. Or you could say in the realm of finances, Christ is not Lord of all. All that's required of me is I keep the formulas. Doesn't matter what He says to me. Or you could say this, like those that are circumcised for religious reason. The new birth did not circumcise my heart. I better get circumcised in the flesh just in case. Ultimately, we're saying if we do any of that, Christ is not my righteousness. I no longer trust in His righteousness. I better keep the law to establish my own. That is the stumbling block that the Jews stumbled over, that Paul agonized about, saying, I'd be willing to be cursed from Christ myself if my brethren could be saved. Meaning, as long as they trust in the law, they're not. We need to grow up.